Maybe we could turn to that psalm, which is a psalm, Psalm 23. Just share with you just that you continue to remember the prison outreach in prayer. As the numbers of prisoners continue to increase, the mission field is expanding all the time. I pray that the Lord will raise up more people to become involved in taking on the responsibility for various states in the prison outreach. The number of courses being distributed grows through the distribution through chaplains and inmates passing on. Also, there are more and more organizations that are referring inmates to the Emmaus courses now. Some that have stopped providing correspondence courses to prisoners, others that are have seen the value of the Emmaus ministry and went prisoners right into their organizations. They refer, automatically refer them to Emmaus for follow-up. Moody's referring courses to Emmaus now. Back to the Bible, Radio Bible Class, Pocket Testament League, and others. We receive, us and the different coordinators across the country, referrals quite often from these various organizations. And we have supplied Liberty down in Lynchburg with quite a number of the beginning course to give out to the inmates that they're reaching in their prison ministry. We had a letter from a chaplain just a few weeks ago at one of the prisons in Baltimore, and he had requested 50 of the first course to be able to pass out to the inmates there in that institution. So the prisoners are increasing, the requests are increasing, and pray that the Lord will lead more people to be burdened to reach out to these men and women who don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, who need to receive Him. We had the privilege just this past week of teaching in day camp at Waynesboro, the Child Evangelism Day Camp, and we also did double duty as the camp missionary for the week. And we had the privilege, we had about 115 children there from Scotland, Fayetteville, Chippensburg, Chambersburg area this week, Upper Strasburg, and to share with them about the work that we were doing among prisoners. We took some of the different things we were doing and tried to bring it down to the child's level. We did a skit one day of taking him right through from a prisoner, getting the card in his jail cell through all the things that happened to get the course back to him. And as he receives it, we were able to take the book that we send out twice pardoned and with some objects to tell him the story one day of Harold Morris. And we trust that it was an encouragement to the children there in as they learned about the way the gospel is going out to those in the prisons. So we just appreciate your continued prayer that many of these men and women might be reached, that those who are saved might grow and might be a witness there in the prisons. It's not an easy place to live for the Lord. You know, it's not an easy place to live for the Lord outside of prison. Imagine what it is when you're behind bars with all that they face there. And some of the letters that we get from some of the inmates, the temptations that are on the outside are almost as many of the things that are almost as available on the inside as well. We have get numbers of letters that say that if an inmate wants drugs, wants them bad enough, they're available and there are ways to get them in the prison. And so they're not as set apart from society in some aspect of it as we would imagine. And so a lot of the sin that is on the outside is also there and available on the inside. So pray for the ones who do make a stand for the Lord Jesus Christ, that they might be able to see fruit in their lives. Emmaus has just completed kind of a revision in several of the children's courses. You know, we get a number of the inmates that haven't gone very far in school. There are a lot that have not more than a sixth or seventh grade education. Some of the courses get quite difficult for them. And so we use the children's courses. We did have a problem with a lot of the children's courses had little children's pictures in them. And, you know, if you're in a prison and you're getting books with little children's pictures in them, and some of the other inmates see it, can kind of make it for a difficult situation. So they've kind of revised the courses. The text hasn't been revised, but the look of the course has been revised so it can be used either with children or in a general way as well. And also, be in prayer as more courses are developed. We had the, Old Testament poetry and prophecy is now in print. It was written by one of the teachers out of Emmaus. He's now working on the first section of the Old Testament survey. Another teacher out there is writing a course on Hebrews, and yet another on the epistles of Peter and Jude. And so the three courses that are currently in the development stage, and hopefully by next year some of these will be into print. So pray as more courses are developed, and particularly as there's some goals of developing some courses, additional courses, specifically for the children's, for the prison ministry. And so pray in, as those are developed and put into print. The 23rd Psalm says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Let's just look to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we just thank Thee again this morning for the privilege we have together once again to look at Thy precious Word. We thank Thee for the truths that are there to show us the way of salvation, the truths that are there to lead us and guide us day by day. We pray that You would just take Your Word and apply it to our hearts, that we might seek to serve Thee faithfully day by day as we look for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that there would even be one individual among us this morning who has never put their faith and trust in Him. Today they might do so. It's in His precious and holy name we pray. Amen. One precious thing about this psalm, the 23rd Psalm, that probably a lot of children who have grown up in Sunday school can quote it, is the fact that this psalm is centered around the shepherd. It begins with the shepherd, doesn't it? And that's the center of the psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That's the way it should be. You know, Paul says in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10, that I may know Him. It's the Lord Jesus Christ that he wants to know. The Lord Jesus Christ is the one that he wants to have as the center and purpose of his life. And that should be the center and purpose of our lives as we go about day by day. And whatever work the Lord has called us to do, whether it's to be in a ministry of serving Him here abroad, whether it's to be in a ministry of serving Him in the home, in the workplace, wherever He's given us a work to do, He should be the very center of it. And that's what the psalmist makes the shepherd in this psalm. In fact, the whole psalm, in a sense, revolves around the shepherd. The shepherd is reaching out to the sheep. So if you just look quickly down through the psalm, you see that it's actions of the shepherd that are brought out. Maketh, leadeth, restoreth, comforteth, prepareth, anointeth. The shepherd is the whole center of the 23rd Psalm. And we live in a day when too often the emphasis is taken off the shepherd and kind of put on the sheep. You know, I was reading an article the other day that I guess it irritated me a little bit as I was reading it, but it was kind of giving the idea that a lot of things that have been done down over the years are irrelevant and not useful in our society today in carrying out the gospel. And some of the things that were mentioned were like vacation Bible schools and tract distribution and door-to-door visitation and things like that. They're inefficient in a day that we live in. Confrontational gospel, it said, is ineffective in this day. You know, I was thinking that when it comes to the gospel, isn't the gospel by its very nature confrontational? Because until a person comes to the point of where they're confronted with the fact that they're lost, that they're guilty, that they need a Savior, there's no way that they could ever come to the Lord Jesus Christ as their own personal Savior. And so just by its very nature, the gospel is something that confronts. It confronts the individual with his need and then tries to bring him to one who can meet that need, the Lord Jesus Christ. And all need a Savior. And they can't be saved unless they first realize that they have a need. You know, in the prison ministry, we have one of the problems that we have a lot of times is the inmates will write in and if they, God couldn't love me, I couldn't be saved. because I'm so bad. Some of them see their need, and yet they imagine themselves too bad to be saved. But then on the other hand, we have a lot of people out there who go to church faithfully every Sunday, maybe even from a small child. They've been raised up in an assembly or a church, and they think, I'm don't go out and do the things like prisoners do. I'm not an evil person. I'm a good person. Why do I need a Savior? Why do I need somebody to accept the Lord Jesus Christ? And so they think they're too good for salvation. And so we get on the two sides of the thing. There are those who are too good for it, and there are those who think they are too bad for it. And both need to be confronted with the gospel, that God sent His only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe on Him can have eternal life. Not the person who, to the good person, not only the person who's in jail, to the person who's in jail, it's not just to the person who goes to Sunday school, but all need to be confronted with the need of a Savior. And so the gospel is confrontational. And a lot of times, though, we're told that we need to try and market the gospel. And I think there's a real danger there when we try to turn the gospel into something like selling soap or selling Pepsi Cola or Coca-Cola or something like that. When you try to market something, then you try to gear it to who you're trying to reach. And when you begin to try and gear things, then you begin to dilute the message. And soon you become to forsake the principle that you have. And so, if the Holy Spirit is working in the what we're doing, whether it be tract distribution or visitation or whatever, results are going to be seen. And I was just yesterday afternoon in the mail, I received a magazine. I was reading an article in that magazine last evening, and it was sharing about an assembly. It was in Pennsylvania. Just a few weeks ago, it had an all-day evangelistic outreach of taking tracts out into their area, of going door to door, and then following up with several nights of meetings. And the article said that unsaved and backslidden Christians were in every meeting, that even there were those who came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their own personal Savior. So if we keep our eyes on the shepherd, as we keep our eyes on the one who's the center, no matter how old the methods we use are, if He's in it, if the Holy Spirit is working in it, it's gonna work and it's gonna see results for Him. So the whole idea for us as believers is that we need to keep the shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, as the center of our outreach, as the center of our life, day by day. And so the psalm starts off this psalm, bringing the shepherd before us. And ever the shepherd needs to be before us, day by day. Not getting him out of our mind, but to keep the Lord Jesus Christ in our thoughts as we go throughout the day, in all the activities that we do, to keep him as our center. And so the first verse says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. But what is the shepherd? Well, there are some characteristics of the shepherd that are brought out in the scripture. I think John chapter 10 really gives us a good picture of the characteristics of the shepherd. In John chapter 10, in verse 11, we're told, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for his sheep. The shepherd loves his sheep so much that he's willing to give his own life for those sheep. The good, in the Middle East of the Bible days, being a shepherd was not the easiest job. It was a dangerous job. There were people who would try and steal the sheep. There were wild animals who would try and destroy the sheep. And so the shepherd, by the nature of his job, was one who had to put his life on the line. And so the shepherd loved his flock so much that he was willing to put his life on the line for that flock. Isn't that exactly what the Lord Jesus Christ did for us, the good shepherd? We're told in Romans chapter 6, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Maybe there's even someone in our midst this morning who is still in the same position of still being in their sin, have never having come to the point of accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. This morning he says to you, while you were a sinner, while you were still opposed to me, while you were still far away, we had those verses read to us in Ephesians chapter 2 this morning that showed to us just how far away we were. There was no hope for us. We were without Christ with no hope whatsoever. But the shepherd loved us enough, loved us so much that he went to that cross. He died for us and paid the price that we would never have to pay it on our own. We deserve to pay it. We deserve eternity separated from him. But God says, I love them. I love every man, woman, boy, and girl that ever has lived and ever will live. And I'm going to make that way of salvation if they'll only turn to me, put their faith and trust in the completed work of the Lord Jesus Christ at Calvary, receive him as their own personal Savior. And this morning, if you're here, you've never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, I would encourage you to think about this morning what God is saying to you, what the shepherd has done for you. While you were lost in your sin, while you were God's enemy, while you were far away. You know, it's one thing to do something good for a friend, isn't it? When a friend is in trouble, most friends would do something to try and help their friend. But what about when your enemy is in trouble? How often would you want to help your enemy? I think if you're somewhere and there's somebody that you just don't get along with at all. Maybe it's somebody that has done something against you and you see that they're in trouble. A lot of people by human nature would stop and think before they reached out to help them. But if it was your best friend and you were down by the seashore and you saw your best friend in trouble, you wouldn't even think about it a second, but you'd plunge in to try and help them if you could, if they got into trouble in the water. But here we see the picture that we were total enemies of God. Without him, and yet he loved us enough. While we were his enemies, while we were still in our sin, the Lord Jesus Christ paid the price that we might have eternal life. You know, we say, sing that song sometimes, he paid the debt he did not owe. We owed a debt we could not pay. As we sit down sometimes and think about that debt, think how great it is that if we could live to be 1,000 years old, if we could do good works 6 hours a day for 1,000 years, that wouldn't begin to be a drop in the bucket of the price that we owe because of our sin. We couldn't do anything to bring the scale into balance. But yet, in one act, by the Lord Jesus Christ, going to the cross of Calvary, suffering, bleeding, and dying in our behalf, and then on that cross, he took the price for our sin and paid that debt, he once and for all made a way that we might have eternal life. If you're here this morning, you don't have that eternal life. You can't say, I know in my heart that if the Lord Jesus Christ would return before this meeting's over, that I would go to be with him. If you can't say that, then why not right where you sit right now? Just bow on your heart and ask him to come into your life, to forgive you of your sin, and be your Savior. Because we don't have that guarantee, do we? You know, the Lord Jesus Christ could return before our meeting's over. For those of us who know him, it would be a glorious occasion, wouldn't it? To think, sitting in the midst of the meeting, thinking about the Lord Jesus Christ, and then to be caught up to meet him in the air. But then to turn around and think that maybe there'll be some of our friends, maybe there'll be someone sitting beside of us, sitting in front of us, who'll be left behind to one day stand before the Lord Jesus Christ and hear him utter those awful words, depart from me, I never knew you. To be cast into a place of outer darkness where there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Oh, what a terrible thought that is. But yet God says, this offer is there. It's up to you. You can either accept it or you can reject it. This morning we would just encourage you, if you're here without the Savior, why not receive him this morning before it's eternally too late? Receive the one who loved you and gave himself for you. And so the character of the shepherd is one who loves his flock. Look in verse 14. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. The good shepherd knows his sheep. There's not going to be any mistake by God on who's his, who are his children, who aren't. We can't say, well, maybe would somebody be missed when the rapture came that really knew the Lord Jesus Christ? Certainly not, because in God's nature, he's perfect. He knows all. And the nature of the shepherd is he knows his own sheep. I'm told that if you could be over in the Middle East where they had their flocks, and that sometimes the flocks would get mixed up together, and to you or I, if we went out and looked at sheep, we would say that just looks like a bunch of sheep there. They're all look alike. But the shepherd could go in amongst the sheep and could find the ones that are his. He could bring out his own sheep because he knows them. He knows every one that are his. And isn't it precious this morning that our shepherd knows us? He knows all about us. He knows our needs. You know, back in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, the Apostle Paul was kind of sharing about his own life, but I think it applies to every one of our own lives. He said that he received this thorn in the flesh, and he prayed three times that it might be removed. And yet, he said, lest I should be exalted above measure, for this thing I sought the Lord thrice, it might be depart from me. But he said, my grace is sufficient for thee. The shepherd knew Paul, and I think he knows us too, that sometimes if we can, in our human nature, exalt ourselves more than we should. And so sometimes he brings little things into our lives to keep us humble, doesn't he? And that's what exactly he said to Paul. My grace is sufficient for thee. Paul, I'm not going to take away that thorn, but I'm going to give you the grace that you need to overcome in that thorn that you have. When you're strong, when you're weak, then I'm going to give you my strength. And the weaker you are, the more strength I'm going to give you. And isn't that the way our shepherd deals with us? He knows us. He knows our strengths and he knows our weaknesses. And in the places where we're the weakest, that's where he gives his greatest strength to help us. My grace is sufficient for thee. And every day we can depend upon that grace. Every day we can depend upon his strength to make perfect our weakness. Until Paul was able to say, more gladly therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Paul says, I don't have to worry about that infirmity I have. I can glory in it because I have the power of Christ resting upon me, leading and guiding. He says, therefore in verse 10, I take pleasure in infirmity. That's kind of hard, you know, to imagine. Something we don't like to do, is it? When we have infirmities, we'd like to have those infirmities gone. But Paul says, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Does that show that the Savior knew him? That the Savior knew his sheep? I think it does. That Paul's able to say, whatever comes, if I'm reproached by the world, if I'm reproached, but if I go to a city and I go to share the gospel, which Paul did often, and the people would come out and it would cause a disruption, try to throw him out of the city. He was stoned at times. He was everywhere he went. There was opposition to the gospel that Paul had. When he was reproached, he could glory in it. Because when he was at his weakest, he had the one who was able to give him strength. He says, no, I could glory in infirmities and reproaches and necessities. But in persecution. You know, if somebody shuts the door in our face when we're visiting, when we're passing out a tract, we think we've been persecuted. If someone takes a tract we hand to them and wads it up and throw it on the ground, we think we've been persecuted for Christ's sake. But think what Paul went through. The whipping that he received, the stoning, all being thrown into prison. All these things that Paul received for the sake of the gospel. And Paul says, I can take pleasure in those things because when I'm weak, then I'm strong. And we don't face the exact same things that Paul did. We don't have the same persecutions, the same infirmities or reproaches. But in our lives, there are things that are similar, aren't there? We have infirmities. We have different things, problems and trials that come up. And we have a shepherd that knows us. And he knows about these. He's not turned his back on us, but he knows about these things. And therefore, as we gain our strength from him, from where our weakest point, we could, in a sense, say the same thing that Paul did. I take pleasure in these things. Because when I'm weak, then I'm strong. We could go one way and we could complain about it and we could complain about the problems that we have. Or we can turn it around and we could say, Lord, use it in my life to strengthen me. Because I'm weak, but you're strong. I'm the sheep and you're the shepherd and you know my weaknesses. And you know me. And so strengthen me with your grace. Your grace is there. And Paul says, my grace is sufficient for thee. And certainly the shepherd does give us his grace day by day, doesn't he? And so the shepherd knows his flock, knows everything about them. And that's how he's able to meet their needs, because he knows all about his flock. And our shepherd knows about us. He's able to meet our needs. He's able to give us the grace that we need and the strength that we need when we're in a place of weakness. And the third characteristic of the shepherd is found in the 27th verse. He says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father who gave them to me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. The shepherd keeps his flock. Isn't it wonderful to have a shepherd that keeps his flock? He says, my sheep hear my voice, I know them, they know me, they follow me, and they're never going to perish. We live in a day when there's an increasing amount of teaching going on that once a person accepts the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, that's not for eternity. If they can lose that salvation, if they make the wrong step, that salvation will be taken away from them, that you can't know until you get there. We see that so much in the lives of the prisoners. They're influenced by so many things in the prison. And they'll write, so the question is, do you know that where you'll go when you die? And I say, well, we can't know. We won't know where we're going to spend eternity until the end time comes. And then when things are added up, then we'll know whether we're going to get in or whether we're not. Or if I've done something wrong, I can lose my salvation. And this is increasing in our day and time, the teaching of this. But I'm glad that we have a shepherd that knows his sheep and a shepherd that keeps his sheep. I give unto them what kind of life? It says eternal life. And they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Once we wrote, had shared these verses with an inmate who wrote in. And he wrote back and said, well, that's true. No man can pluck them out of the Father's hand. But you know, I can pluck myself out. Nobody can take me out of his hand, but I can take myself out. Well, not when you read the verse, it says, no man. That includes me, doesn't it? That includes you, it includes me, it includes everyone. No one is able to pluck us out of the Father's hand. Oh, how precious it is to have a shepherd that keeps his flock. I think of Romans chapter 8, verses 38 and 39. I don't think there's really anything any more clear in the entire scriptures than these verses. Where he says, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creation shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. There's nothing that's been created, nothing that has ever been created that can separate us from the love of God. Now, that doesn't give us the license to go out and do as we please. It doesn't give us the license to go out and say, well, God loves me and I've got eternal salvation. That doesn't matter how I live my life. Because you'd have to wonder what we'd even accept of the Lord if we had that kind of an attitude. But because when we accept Him, we're not going to want to displease Him, are we? We're going to want to please Him, to honor Him, the one who loved us. But how precious it is this morning to know that there's no creation that can separate us from His love. The shepherd loves us, the shepherd knows us, and the shepherd keeps us. And that's the nature of the shepherd. And on the other hand, we have the nature of the sheep. We go back to the same three verses. John chapter 10, verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. The sheep is dependent upon the shepherd. The sheep can't do it on his own. And we can't do it on our own either, can we? We can't be saved on our own. We can't live the Christian life on our own. We're dependent upon our shepherd. A lot of times we try to go our own way. We try to do what we want to do. Just yesterday, there was a group of us from the Waynesboro Chapel went down to River Valley Ranch at the Christian camp down between Baltimore and Hanover. And on Saturday afternoons during the summer, they have a rodeo. And so we went down for the rodeo, and one of the things they were having was a calf penning. And they had three riders on horses, and these calves were running around the circle, and they were trying to get them and to pen them into a three-sided pen. And they would have the calf almost there, almost ready to go in, and all of a sudden it would burst between the riders. And they kept on and on, and they'd almost have it in. Just as it seemed like it was going to head into the pen, it would veer to one way and go its own way. It had its own mind. And no matter what they did, they couldn't seem to get that calf in the pen. I think sometimes we're kind of like that in our lives, aren't we, as a sheep. We have our own mind and our own way. And we know what God's Word says to us. We know what He has, the commands that He's given to us in His Word. We know what His will is for our lives. But we're like that calf or like that sheep. We try to veer our own way. To keep out of the pen, as it were. To keep ourselves doing what we want to do. But oh, how glad we can be that we have a shepherd who, even on those occasions, doesn't turn us out. A shepherd who doesn't say, well, if they're not going to follow me, I'm not going to love them. But we have a shepherd who cares for us because he knows the nature of the sheep, that those sheep are dependent upon him for everything, dependent upon him for food, for shelter, in times of disease, in times of animals that would come after them. The sheep were totally dependent upon the shepherd. And we're just like, we need to keep depending upon him day by day. Not only do the sheep depend upon the shepherd, but again in verse 14, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. The sheep know who their shepherd are. I also have heard that the different shepherds had different calls. And when a shepherd could make a call, their own sheep would respond, but other sheep wouldn't. The sheep know the shepherd. And how precious it is, again, that we can know our shepherd. And the way that we can know our shepherd is through this book, isn't it? Through the study and the hiding of this book in our prayer. You know, back in 2 Timothy, Paul gives a warning to Timothy and also an encouragement. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, he's speaking to young Timothy. He says in verse 13, evil men and seducers shall become worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And we live in a world today when many people are being deceived. They're being led astray by every wind of doctrine. People are being caught up into all kinds of false cults. The cults are growing at rates that are unbelievable almost. And every time you turn around, you think you've heard of it all. And then you'll hear of some new group that's sprung up with some strange, weird doctrine. And people follow right along after it. It's hard to imagine the way that people are so easy to see. But we just look in the history of our country over the past few years. I think of those hundreds of people that followed Jim Jones to their death in Guyana. And think of the folks down in Texas that followed David Koresh to their death. Deceived and being deceived. Not having any shepherd to be geared to. But oh, how precious it is to have a shepherd. And the way that we can know that shepherd and can keep ourselves following that shepherd is found in verse 14 and 15, as he says to Timothy. Timothy, continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. That from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise in salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. The desire to know Him and to put the world aside. You know, the world has so much that's enticing, so much that's out there that's beckoning young people, older people, everyone to follow the ways of the world. But Paul says to Timothy, Timothy, when you see these things that are there, when you see how evil the world is becoming, continue thou in the things which thou hast learned. The word that's been hidden in your heart. The word which you've learned that shows you the shepherd. That shows you the way. And then when others are being deceived, when others are following every wind of doctrine, Timothy, you're going to be able to keep following the shepherd that's before you. And so the sheep knows his shepherd. This morning I trust that we know our shepherd and keep following him. That we're taking this book, that we're hiding His Word in our hearts, so that when we're faced with these things that are bound to come up, no matter what age we are, we're going to be faced with different situations, that we're going to be able to say, I know that's wrong because God's Word says it is. And I'm going to keep on the track. It's that track which is following the shepherd. And so we need to know our shepherd. And then in verse 27, He says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life. The sheep trust his shepherd. The sheep trust the shepherd. They, in a sense, they give their total life to the shepherd. They follow him. They don't know if there are wolves out there. They don't know if there are bears out there. A snake or poison grass or whatever. The sheep doesn't know what's there. They just follow along after the shepherd. And as he brings them to the pastures, they're able to feed. And so the nature of the sheep is to trust the shepherd. And shouldn't that be the nature of us? To trust in the one who loved us and gave himself for us. Back in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20, we read, now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. How much can we trust in our shepherd? We can trust in him completely, can't we? We can trust in him to work in our lives in a very wonderful way. He says here that he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. You know, to do above all that we ask, that would be great, wouldn't it? For him to do above all that we ask would be tremendous. But the scripture goes far more than that and says he's able to do abundantly above, but even a step more than that, exceedingly abundantly above. But then you add the little word at the end, exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. We can commit ourselves and trust him completely for every aspect of our life, not having to worry, because he's promised, I'm going to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you ask or all that you even think. Oh, what a wonderful shepherd we have this morning, one whom we can trust in. May he be the center of our lives day by day. The character of the shepherd, he loves his flock, he knows his flock, and he keeps his flock. The character of us as sheep, we depend upon our shepherd, we know our shepherd, and we trust our shepherd. May we be found doing that as we look for his coming. And then again, if you're here this morning, and you can't say that you have the Lord Jesus Christ as your shepherd, if I were to come to you, or if one of the brethren would come to you, and we're not going to do that, we're not going to go around from person to person. I know when we were in Bible college, there was an evangelist came to the town where we were at, and some of the students went to the evangelistic meeting. And when he came to his invitation, the evangelist says, now, everybody that is a Christian, stand up. And then he says, okay, now you that are still sitting, you need to get saved tonight. Well, we're not going to do anything like that to embarrass you or anything, but we would just encourage you. If you're here, you've never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, don't leave the auditorium without talking to one of the brethren here, having someone sit down with you and show you from the Word of God how you can know that wonderful gift of salvation, to know the shepherd, the good shepherd who loves you and gave himself for you. Let's just look to him in a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning again for your love. We thank you that you love us so much that you were willing to send your only begotten Son to pay that price that we could never pay. And Father, we would pray that there be even one individual among us who hasn't accepted you, that today they might do so. And then for those of us who do know thee, Father, may we just keep our eyes on the shepherd day by day. We realize that there's so much in the world that is there, is appealing, and would try and lead us astray. But may we just keep our hearts and minds centered upon thee, upon thy word, following and trusting thee day by day. It's in our Savior's precious and holy name we pray. Amen.